I want to welcome all the kids to this special children's time, and you can see I'm kind of in a new spot than where a lot of our children's sermons have been, but we're back here in the sanctuary, and I thought I would just sit down and talk with you in a minute, but I'm right between the communion table, where we have the Advent candles, and this is called a baptismal font, and we're going to be doing baptisms right here sometime. And some of you, I know I baptized you maybe right in this sanctuary using water to represent how Jesus washes us clean from our sin. But I just thought I'd come kind of sit here and invite you to gather around. We are in the third Sunday of Advent, and this is where we think about Jesus coming and waiting for him and anticipating his arrival. I'm sure you're getting excited for Christmas. I'm sure you are thinking about, wondering about what kind of gifts you're going to get for Christmas. I know this is a different Christmas. In fact, I may not see you between now and Christmas, not in person probably. So Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, I hope you will tune into our online service. We're going to have a special kids puppet show online. And you'll want to see that. Hey, today we're going to talk about two women. They were in the same family. They were relatives. One was much older. One was probably not much older than some of you, a teenager. Her name was Mary, and you've heard probably a lot about her. You've probably heard less about her relative, Elizabeth, who the Bible just tells us was an old woman. We don't know how old that means, but it was a lot older than Mary. And here's the wonderful thing we learn in today's Bible story: how important it is to have someone in your life, someone that you can go to, not just to be a friend, although friends are really important, but someone to go to when you need help trying to figure out what God's maybe telling you. You know, we can read the Bible, and we really encourage you to spend time in God's Word, because that's where God speaks to us pretty clearly. But then sometimes we hear more specific things about God's will for our life, or what God wants us to do. And as you get older, I think some of those things will become more clear, but the bottom line is, with just the Bible and God, it's sometimes hard to know what to do next, or how to do it, or when to do it. And so today's Bible story, Mary has just heard from the angel Gabriel. She hears some amazing things, including that she's going to actually be the mother of Jesus. And this is all wonderful and strange and confusing, I'm sure. And what Gabriel tells her is so wonderful. He doesn't just say, you're going to be the mother of Jesus, the Messiah. He also says, and by the way, your relative Elizabeth, who's much older than you, is also going to have a baby, and it's a pretty special thing as well. And he doesn't say, go see her. He doesn't say, hurry up because she'll help you. He just tells her about her relative Elizabeth. And the Bible tells us that after Mary said, okay, God, whatever you want, I'm ready. Right after that, it says she went really quickly to go be with her friend Elizabeth, her relative Elizabeth. And a wonderful thing happens there, and Elizabeth is in some ways waiting for her and waiting for this moment, and Elizabeth is so encouraging to her, and Elizabeth helps Mary make more sense out of what God said. Elizabeth helps Mary to have courage now to go back to her family and her fiancé Joseph with what's going to happen. She needs courage for that. She needs encouragement. And she needs excitement. And Elizabeth shares all this excitement that Mary then starts to feel. And you know what? Elizabeth is such a great encouragement that it helps Mary come up with a new song. And Mary sings a song because she spent time with her relative Elizabeth. Again, much older, but someone who really helped Mary just when she needed it most. And I want to go back to your life now. And maybe you don't have big, huge things, but you will have things that you wonder about, care about, and think God might be sort of directing you toward. I remember when I heard something kind of just a strange sort of echo that God was present with me when I was about 8 years old, and I was actually in church lighting the Advent candles in our church when I felt this something. And I didn't know what it was, but I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't know I could talk to or should talk to someone. And sometimes you can't always talk to your parents about things. And as you get older, there might be certain things that you need someone else to talk to. And so that's the wonderful thing about our story as well, is Mary doesn't go looking for another teenager. She goes and looks for someone who is older and wiser and more practiced in listening to God and worshiping God. Elizabeth is the perfect person. And for a lot of you, there are people in this church who are older, who are not your parents, who know you and love you. And I hope that you will go to them and trust them to help you make sense of your life and God's will for your life and what God might be saying to you and wanting for you and from you and in you. And I get to pray for Logan Teske every morning. I'm an FPC prayer. And a lot of us are praying for you by name on a daily basis. And I love that I get to pray for Logan, and I love that other people get to pray for you. And I hope that as Logan gets a little older, Logan, if you're listening, pay attention, I hope that when you guys get a little older and maybe you don't know who to talk to, you'll think of that person who's been praying for you for years, every day, paying attention to your life, maybe connecting with you in some different ways, writing letters, seeing you in church and catching up on your life and really paying attention. That person who's praying for you every day may be a great person to go to in a few years or down the road. I hope that that's true for Logan and me. I know your prayer partners hope that as well. So, you need people, and God will lead you to those people, and there are people who will help you listen to God and follow God's plan for your life. That's what we want to do for you, and I'm here between a baptismal font and a communion table, and I'm really hoping that over the years we get to spend lots of time here worshiping and growing and listening to God together. So let me pray for you. Lord, there's a lot that's going on that we don't know about, but I know you know. And I hope that every one of our kids knows that you not only know about their lives, but you know people who are going to help them with their life. Friends for sure, parents for sure, but some others as well, God. Prepare a person for every single kid in this church, a person they can go to, a person they can trust, a person who will encourage them and give them courage and help them listen to you. Lord, may this be a great Christmas gift for all of us, that we would have a person prepared for us that we can trust. Bless our kids with such a person or such people in the years ahead. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, and thanks for being a part of our church family. I want to think about Elizabeth with you, and Mary still, it turns out, is part of this story, and Zechariah as well. But I want to start by just asking you, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Do you panic? Do you act impulsively? Do you sort of shut down? Or isolate? Do you get on your knees and pray? Do you panic? Do you become sort of paralyzed, or do you call up a friend and go out to coffee for conversation? And now, how about if this decision that you're trying to figure out, what if what to do has to do with what God wants you to do? What if that's the subject? What's your first move, your go-to move, your best move? Let's go as far in this scenario, okay? Let's go as far as to say you have heard clearly from God. You know what God is asking you to do. Let's even say that you are ready and willing. Let's just say in your best faith moment, you echo the words of Mary, "Here am I. the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word. Let's just say you're at that place. Is there anything left to do? I mean, if you're that far along, you've heard clearly, and you're willing, is there anything left to do? Do you still need some help, even if you're there with Mary, do you still need some help with the now what part? Of course you do. And of course Mary did. And what we're going to read is what happened next, really part of her what now? I'm willing. I've heard clearly. Well, what do I do next? Here's what she does. After hearing from the angel Gabriel, after committing herself by saying, here am I, we read, in those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon, she says to Mary, for as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Let's pray together. O God, speak to us, not only through your word and by your Holy Spirit, but speak to us through people who you have ordained for us. Even as we listen and reflect on your word, as we think about Mary and Elizabeth, as we think about the life-altering work that you're doing in our lives, Lord, help us to know how to hear from you through the right people as well. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As all of us have discovered, or are discovering, or will discover in this life of following Jesus, we realize, or we are realizing, that life-altering moments don't always come like fully crystallized with a real clear plan. Nor does having clarity about what God wants from us and in us, it doesn't mean that just because we have clarity, we don't need help along the way. I don't know anyone who doesn't need someone. Do you? Let me just back up. Let's not put ourselves fully in Mary's shoes. Nobody really can be in her shoes. And let's face it, things aren't always that clear, and we're not always that willing. So let's back up and say, maybe you've heard from God, or you are hearing from God and God's word, but it's a little murky, a little fuzzy. Or let's say that God has been very clear about something. Let's say he's been very clear about his plan for generosity, or he's been very clear about how he wants you to start paying more attention to your use of words, how you use them, and why you use them. Pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth. Maybe that's real clear. Or maybe he's been really clear about his plan for sexuality, whether you're married or single. Or he's been really clear about his call in your life to live justly and to do justice and to seek justice. Maybe that's all really clear, but you're not yet at that here am I place that Mary was. So let's say that when we're at those times when things are maybe a little murky, or we're just not ready to take the plunge that God is asking us to take, let's say that's where we are. When you're at that place, is your first instinct to process on your own, to figure it out on your own? Is that kind of your first move? I'll figure it out. Or do you have a trusted friend that you can turn to? Someone who cares about and loves you, yes, but also cares and loves about the kingdom of God. Is there someone who you trust that cares about you and loves you and cares about and loves the kingdom of God? Is there a person like that in your life? I don't know anyone who doesn't need someone. But you don't need just anyone. You need an Elizabeth. Now, sometimes we settle for isolation and rugged independence, and that is almost always a terrible plan. Let me just say that. We're all rugged, independent Americans. Bad plan, not the biblical view of community and relationship. But even when we turn to others for help, finding the right person to turn to is a tricky thing. In fact, I think we need God's direction to lead us even to those particular people that He has prepared to help us discern and know what to do next in following God's plan. I think that direction comes supernaturally from God as well. I mean, in this story, Mary gets some very direct guidance from the angel Gabriel. Just wonderful. You know, he drops in. And now your relative Elizabeth, you know, she's in her fifth month of pregnancy. And you know that when Mary's listening, she's like, Elizabeth, oh, I know where I'm going. And then we pick up in verse 39, Mary set out and went with haste. She went quickly and she went decisively because I think God had directed her to that person, to Elizabeth. So who's that go-to person for you? And how quickly do you go to them for encouragement, for guidance, for a listening ear, for their collaboration in God's kingdom, life-altering work in your life? Like, who do you go to? Did you notice that Mary didn't go to her parents right away or to Joseph, right? That would have been a disaster, especially given the subject matter that she was wrestling with, right? Bad move. They were not ready or able to help, not in the way Mary needed help. And so I wonder, maybe you have gone to a person for guidance connected to God's will and God's work in your life, or maybe life in general, but even if it's as specific as something to do with your faith, you've gone to a person, a trusted person, a person who knows and cares about you, but then you came to realize, because of that interaction or because of kind of where that led to, you realized, huh, God wasn't sending me to that person for what I needed, or they were just the wrong person. They were not the person I needed to help me in this time of need. Maybe you've had that experience and never really named it or thought about it, but maybe you should think back through your faith journey and some of these life-altering moments. You know, some people have been helpful, some people probably not so helpful. For me, as I thought back this week, I thought about, you know, when I felt called to ministry, full-time ministry, as a freshman in college. Now, that's not what God says to everyone or hardly anyone. So whatever the thing is, it doesn't really matter. But for me, that was a big moment, and I went pretty quickly to my mom with that information. And guess what? You've heard me say this, and if my mom's online watching, you know I love you, but she was not ready. She was not able to help me with that first kind of conversation. She was unable for lots of different reasons to help me process that. I remember when I got close to the end of college and was thinking about which seminary to go to. Again, which seminary is not, you know, the life and death, but it is really important. And I was working at a church at the time. I was interning under a youth pastor. He was not the right person to help me process what seminary I should go to. His theological, what I would say, theological tunnel vision, it did not enable him to help me figure out what was best for me. I mean, he knew what would have been best for him had he been in my place, but he wasn't paying attention to me and what God was doing in my life. So he wasn't the right person either. Good person, not the right person. I remember when Shelley was going to stay an extra year while teaching and finish up her master's, it meant I could stay an extra year after my master's and get a one-year master's and a focused thing. And we had connected with the local church. We'd been there for 2 years. We loved this pastor. And I invited him to the seminary. I said, hey, can we just meet for coffee? I would love some guidance and some direction. Like, what should I focus on for this one extra year that God's kind of laying in my lap? And I remember just even walking away from that thinking, he doesn't know what I need to hear. And again, I didn't know him that well. So again, great person, just not the right person for that conversation. I remember my first year when I was in field education, before we got married, that particular pastor and I stayed connected. He was in New Jersey, and he came to seminary and to visit sometimes. And when I was applying for my very first call, I was putting together essentially a Presbyterian resume, and I had him look at it, and his response and his advice and his reaction to what I had written as a description of who I was and what I was passionate about, it was very clear that he was the wrong person to give me input on how to do this thing called searching for a call. Again, these were all good people. They were godly people, and they all had advice. But none of them, looking back, were a God-ordained Elizabeth for me. So what made Elizabeth the perfect person for Mary to go to, besides the female and pregnant thing? What made her the perfect person for Mary to go to? And what can we learn about who that best person or most perfect person would be for us when we need to find an Elizabeth-like person? What do we see about her? And what is it that God may want to direct us to in another person? Like, what does God know we need in a person that's going to help join him in this life-altering work, in this kingdom-building work? Well, what do we learn? What kind of person does God tend to use to help him in this life-altering work? Well, Elizabeth had been quietly listening for 5 to 6 months by the time Mary gets to her. And so that's the first thing. Just, she's a great listener. Now, she had been in the ultimate lockdown with Zechariah. No Netflix, right? Very few distractions. The Bible tells us she stayed in seclusion for those first 5 months. So a lot of listening. She was really kind of in tune with God's activity. I mean, God's word, God's promises. Again, her and Zechariah, as Jason said, a lot of charades going on, but I think they did a lot of pondering and listening together in that quiet. And I think that made her a perfect person for Mary to go to. She was also caught up in something larger and bigger than herself, and she knew that at this point. She knows that something big is going on. Now, I don't think she had a friend to go to. She was in seclusion. But I think Zechariah was that person for her. And if he was a priest, well-trained, no matter what, he knew the Bible inside and out, the Old Testament. And I kind of picture them, even non-verbally, kind of picture them working through and rehearsing and remembering the promises of God through the prophets and the ways of God through the law. I think they were reviewing the where and when of all this Messiah stuff for several months before Mary arrives. And that makes her the perfect person. Now, I know that's a lot to ask for a person, right? To be in the place that Elizabeth was at. But for the weighty matters of this life and the work of God's kingdom, that's what we need. That's how important this is. Elizabeth was so in tune with the will and plan of God, so undistracted by all that was swirling around her, that she quickly saw, felt, and discerned what was going on in God's larger story right when Mary entered. I mean, she was that in tune. Elizabeth was able to distinguish between just another kick in the belly from John and the revelation from God that the young virgin standing before her was somehow connected to God's promise and plan for Messiah. She was in tune. We all need an Elizabeth if we're going to be rooted in Jesus and growing in his love and branching out to serve others. We need people like this. Now, if we just need advice about investment strategies and vacation options and what to do about our bad backs, and I'm saying that tongue in cheek, those are all fine things, normal things to get advice from people. But if kind of that's where we're at, or if the biggest questions we're pondering are, you know, does so-and-so like me? Or, you know, something as minor as what we should wear or the best music ministry in any church in the valley. You know, if those are the things we're seeking out, again, those are just normal things. Life happens. We need advice. We need input. But if that's the level of input, that's the magnitude of the weighty matters of our life, we don't really need an Elizabeth for that. A trustworthy person, or even semi-trustworthy person who knows us somewhat, I mean, they'll do for that kind of minor stuff. But if we're dealing with the stuff of redemption and restoration and God's kingdom, his righteousness, his justice that's breaking forth, I mean, if we're dealing with holiness and grace and truth and salvation, if we're trying to find God's place for us in his larger story, if we're interested in the kingdom of God breaking into the kingdoms of this world, then you don't just need anyone. You need Elizabeth or someone like her. For Mary, Zechariah, and Elizabeth, this moment is about more than a couple of babies, although it includes a couple of babies. This is about the breaking in of the kingdom. Everything in the scriptures that they had known and studied and rehearsed and prayed, everything was coming into focus. Grace and truth were on the way. And Mary would end up singing about some big things as a result of her time with Elizabeth. We know it as the Magnificat, and this is part of what she sang. She said, God has scattered the proud. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. She's basically saying that what was about to happen in the birth of Jesus and John had to do with God keeping, she goes on, the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. This was a big deal that was coming, and she's gathering that. Now, we don't know if this was a one-take song that she burst out to immediately with all the rhyme and meter and perfect place. I mean, Elizabeth doesn't have, you know, a video app on her phone to catch it all. Now, this is probably not an instant YouTube post. This is probably part of what she figured out how to sing and exult in relationship to Elizabeth. And maybe this is something that was worked on not just over these 3 months, but further into her life. We don't know, but this is the song she sang. This is a big deal. This moment is about not just her even, not just about her and Elizabeth. This is about kingdoms being turned upside down and the poor being empowered and the hungry being fed. I mean, clearly she was not seeing all this in reality. This is what she was seeing spiritually as a vision for what was coming in the coming of Messiah. This is big stuff, weighty stuff. And if you and I have any connection to God's big stuff, we'll definitely need someone to come alongside us, someone like Elizabeth. Not only can't we do it without God's help, we can't do it without one another. We are in desperate need of being in the company of others, this kind of company for big stuff. Someone gave me an Advent devotional by Walter Brueggemann, and he's leading us through this Advent, you know, seeing like this is big stuff. This is structural changing, kingdom changing, you know, life altering stuff on a global scale. That's what the first Advent is all about. And in that context, he says, when we're really caught up in God's bigger story, we need people, he says. And he actually put it like this. He said, what human persons and human community most need in this setting, in this reality, is abiding, committed, transformative solidarity. I love that. Abiding, committed, transformative solidarity. Elizabeth, who may have been 4 to 6 times the age of Mary, we don't know, but there's a huge generational gap. She is in true solidarity with Mary in this moment for what's coming. Again, I would love to have a video, not just of that moment, but of those 3 months. I would love to know what they talked about. I would love to know what they prayed about. I would love to know what they sang about, because they're clearly joy-filled and exulting in this coming Messiah. Whatever it was that was true about those 3 months, it was abiding, and it was committed, and it was transformative solidarity. And now, because of her time with Elizabeth, Mary is ready to go home. Now, because of her 3 months with Elizabeth, which may have culminated in the birth of John the Baptist, where she sees, yep, he's here, the forerunner of the Messiah who's now growing in me. At the end of that time, she now had the courage, she now had the strength, she now had the focus to go home. And as I said last week, she'd be going home to the fallout of what happens when God gets a hold of us, things often get worse before they get better. She was going home to worse, and things would be worse before they got better. And because she had Elizabeth with her, she was going home with courage. So this Advent, may you and I pay attention to the big stuff God has for each of us. It doesn't mean you can't plan your gifts and bake your cookies and decorate your house. I hope you do that, and I hope you are listening to the music of this season, but I hope you don't get caught up in the small stuff. And there's some big stuff going on in our world, and I don't want to minimize it, but compared to God's big stuff, it is small, it is minuscule, it is a blip on the radar of God's redemptive plan. Stay focused on the big stuff this Advent. May God grant us and lead us to an Elizabeth. For many of us, I pray that God may remind us that he is preparing and has prepared us to be an Elizabeth for someone else. Don't just keep thinking it's someone else's job. For many of you listening, and maybe this is what you need to hear, you are that person. Get ready. Be a good listener. Stay in God's word. Be attuned to the big stuff so that when that person comes to you, you will be ready. You'll be the right person. You'll be who they need and what they need for what it is God's calling them to. May God do all of that stuff. Keep us close to the big stuff. Grant us people like Elizabeth and help us to be an Elizabeth for someone else. And Advent's a great time to prepare to be this kind of person. Advent is a great time to practice silence and stillness. And I know our culture doesn't provide it, but this pandemic is providing us a lot more silence and stillness. Don't miss it. Advent is a great time to practice being an Elizabeth, being present to others, and really listening to them, putting yourselves in their place, or not even trying to put yourself in their place, just being present to them. Practice that as you're with people. And I know you won't be with very many people, but make the most of the people you are with on Zoom, on the phone, or in person. Advent's a great time to be with others as they come to us with their thoughts and questions and hopes and dreams, and it's all swirling around and they need you to help them get a focus. Advent is also a great time to let what is growing in us, figuratively, keep growing. Advent's a great time to help that keep growing. And again, as we become Elizabeths for others, to help the kingdom life-altering plan of God grow in other people's lives. Advent is a great time for more life-altering Mary and Elizabeth moments. May you have them. May I have them. Let's pray. God, in this Advent season, continue your work among us and in us. Prepare us. Help us to ready ourselves for your arrival and your will to be articulated on earth as it is in heaven. Here we are, God, willing servants of the Lord. May it be to us here at First Presbyterian Church and in your church around the world, may it be to us according to your word. Amen.